Good morning. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we gather here this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus as his chosen people, as a royal nation, a holy people. Please help us to live this out so that people might see our good deeds and give you praise. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Welcome to those of you who are visiting and those of you who come back from recent travels and holidays. Today I want to launch an exciting new initiative called Connect 50. If you have been part of St Alfred's for a little while, you might have heard about this in a previous incarnation called Blessing the Community. Connect 50 will be a series of good works and acts of service that the people of St Alfred's are going to do during this coming year, which is our 50th anniversary year. Our aim through this initiative is to connect with and bless our community, those people around us, to serve and to love people in practical ways, and use our 50th anniversary as the excuse just to gather our corporate energies and focus ourselves on this act of service, this corporate act of service, and hence the title Connect 50. I'm aware, as having been the senior minister here for a while, that God has blessed us as a church in so many ways. And you personally, as you stop and reflect, must be aware that God has blessed you personally in so many ways. And we simply want to spread that blessing around us, spread it out beyond us. So Connect 50 is an opportunity to give and to serve and to love and to care. Jesus told us to love God and to love people. He said that the first commandment was certainly to love God with everything we have, with all our mind, all our strength, all our soul, all our spirit. Everything we have should be directed to loving God. That's the first commandment. But that's closely followed by the second commandment, which is to love our neighbour as ourself. And you'll find those two commandments etched on the doors as you come into the auditorium here. And Connect 50 then will give us ideas on how to do that second commandment, how to actually love people. What could we do, practically speaking? Now, you know, as well as I do, that our community is full of need, and the Bible exhorts us to respond to those needs. Micah, for example, the Old Testament prophet, tells us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. That's in Micah 6, verse 8. Jesus tells a story of a man who looks after someone who's been beaten up, the Good Samaritan. We're encouraged in that story to reach beyond the boundaries that we've put around who we think our neighbours are and to care for others. But as you read the New Testament in a more sort of a reflective way, you see that what Jesus does is he comes to begin what he calls the kingdom of God. And we see him showing signs of the kingdom of God in his teaching and his healing and his confrontation with evil, his feeding of people. All of those bring restoration and hope to people. And the New Testament sends us out. John says, you know, when Jesus is risen, the risen Lord says to his disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. We're sent out to be agents of the kingdom. And we do that as we feed and as we restore and as we help people and as we confront evil and bring release, whether that be spiritual evil or systemic evil. In our readings this morning, the Apostle Peter reminded us, he said, verse 12 in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, he said, "Live such good lives among the pagans." Now remember, that's written in the ancient world where pagans referred basically to the Greeks and Romans, but people who didn't obviously believe in Jesus. "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong," because they don't understand what you Christians are on about, "even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." So there's an injunction there to the Christians that in this multicultural, multi-faith world, keep doing good so that even if you get accused of doing wrong, your deeds stand as a sort of justification, a clear statement of who you are and then who God is. Connect 50 is about doing good deeds, doing good for others, serving others and helping others. Matthew in his gospel put it another way. He says in chapter 5, verse 16, which we heard read, he said, "In the same way, Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So in a sense, we're a reflection, as we do these good deeds, we're a reflection of the light of Christ into people's darkness. Many people live in a lot of spiritual and emotional darkness. A lot of people have very complicated lives where there's a lot of pain. And as we do whatever we can do to help, we're shining God's light into their lives, albeit briefly, and hopefully somewhere inside them, they don't sort of want to, you know, glorify us. Somewhere inside them, we hope that their attention is drawn to God and they might glorify our Father in heaven. Serving others, particularly those outside the church, is a way of shining Christ's love into their lives. Now, it's important for me to say a couple of things about what we're not doing in Connect 50. I hope you've got the basic idea of what we are doing, but let me say what we're not doing. Although I hope that our good deeds, in a sense, creates goodwill amongst people who may not be Christians, and in a sense promotes the gospel, using that phrase that we thought about last year, we'll actually not be setting out to win converts. Okay? We're not doing that. Now, should evangelistic opportunities arise through your interaction with somebody, then God will direct you what to do and what to say, and we will respond appropriately. But that's not what we're setting out to do. Our main aim is to bless people, to serve them, and to leave any other response, any other results totally in God's hands. We're not trying to get people to sign up to anything at church. We're certainly not trying to get them to pay us anything. And we're certainly not trying to subtly soften them up. Now, my preference would be that the bulk of what we do is not even on church property, that it's done in other contexts where people are, where their needs are, so that they actually register we're willing to come to where they are. We're not asking them to come here. We'll not be ashamed or embarrassed about the fact that we're a church. We'll not hide who we are. We don't want to hide our light under a bushel or anything like that. We'll be more than happy to say, hey, we're from St. Alfred's. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary. Is there anything we could do to help you? So we're not hiding who we are by any means, because we want to connect with people. But we're not trying to get anything back from them. Now, some people will find this very odd when you say, I don't want anything, I don't need anything, you don't pay us anything, you don't have to come to church, there's nothing, I just want to give you, I'll give you my time, I'll help you, I don't need anything back from you. And I suspect that when you start having those sorts of conversations, people will be very curious about why you're doing what you're doing anyway, and it will open up opportunities. We ran a thing here last year, our young adults and youth, called Noise, which will be coming up again shortly, where it was a sort of free car wash and a barbecue and, you know, everything was given away for free. And one young fellow just wanted to pay us money. He just couldn't cope with the fact that we didn't want to charge him. So that might stir up some interesting discussions along the way. And I think that'll be quite fun. Now, what sort of things might we do? What are the practical things we might do? Well, this is where I'd like you to take out the little booklet you were given on the way in called Connect 50. Now, at one stage coming in this morning, people were coming in such a rush that we didn't get them into everybody's hands. So my apologies if you didn't have a copy of this inside contact. But if you're in that situation, Doug's wandering around, just indicate and he'll try and get one to you in a moment. And at least if there's one between each married couple, then you can look on from that. Now, as the guys just help get those out to anyone who doesn't have one, if you would turn, please, with me to page 6, you'll see from page 6 onwards that there's a whole range of ideas, practical ideas, that you can get involved in. And you'll notice as you flick through the pages, on the top of the page, there is a little graphic of a clock. And that's a little symbol to help you understand whether this is a long-term or needing a lot of time, or whether this is a short term or needing not so much time. You'll also find on occasional pages a little graphic of a pot plant, which indicates that this activity might be appropriate for a growth group, what we now call our small groups. So if you're a member of such a group or a leader of such a group, you might look at those ideas and think, some stage in the year, we might take this idea on as a group. Now, you may find, and you'll find the those graphics explained back in page 5, what they actually mean, particularly the clock one might be important for those of you who have very busy lives. Now, you may find that having looked through all the ideas, that immediately your mind or your heart jumps to something. You think, I'd love to get involved in that. And on each page, it tells you how to do that, who the contact person is, and their details, the main people's contact details, you'll find on the last two pages, pages 23 and page 24. And all you need to do then is contact the appropriate person and say, I want to get involved. But you might also read this and go, but I want to do something else. This isn't telling me or suggesting to me the sort of thing I really love to do, or I've got another idea. What do I do with that? Well, this collection of ideas is simply a starting point. It's a result of a process of thinking that's been going on since the middle of last year and has been coordinated just to get you going. And it's not meant to be exhaustive. And in fact, if you have other ideas, the team who've been overseeing this would love to encourage you to go, whether it's you by yourself, I'm going to go and do this at a local aid agency, or if it's something that you need others to do, then it might need to be more coordinated and it needs a bit of advertising perhaps, and therefore you can then get a little group of people together to do something. Or if your growth group gets together and after thinking and praying and you have a particular area of interest as a group and you think, well, why couldn't we do that? That's fine. We want to just give you permission to do whatever God leads you to do. The only thing I ask is that you keep in touch with our coordinators so they know what's going on, because that sort of coordination and sharing of news and communication exercise needs just that little bit of coordination. Now, having mentioned coordinators, I do want to just introduce you to the team who've been involved and the coordinators. They've been working hard for a number of months now preparing for today, and getting this little booklet out for me this morning has been quite a bit of a time frame for them, you know, a deadline. So if you've been on the Connect 50 team in any capacity up to now, would you just like to stand for me? The coordinators and anyone who's been along to the meetings to put your ideas in and help this thing get to this stage, would you like to just thank these guys who've been working hard up to now? And over here were our two main coordinators, Susan and Catherine. I'm going to invite Susan to come up and join me this morning, and Catherine's going to come up and join me this evening. And Susan Morrie and Catherine Naylor have been the two main coordinators. And I'm just going to ask Susan a couple of questions. This is not her favourite place in life, but she's been willing to come and join me. So, Susan, would you just tell everyone what part you've been playing in this process up to now in Connect 50?
Yeah, I think you said it properly, Peter. Catherine and I have been coordinating. It's really just trying to get things organized so that we've got plenty of options for the year. And if you've got more ideas, please let us know. I also want to thank specifically Helen Petering and Daniel Clark, who did a lot to help us as well.
And Susan, you've obviously thought this was a good idea. That's why you put up your hand and said, I'm happy to help coordinate it. Why, in your words, why is this a good idea?
Gosh. I think the primary thing is that this is a reflection of God's heart for our community, for the world. It can be really hard to find ways to connect with people, particularly in the suburbs. After 20 years of living in Africa, you just have that need in your face all the time. And coming here, it's just not so obvious, but it's still present in the community. And I think, too, that one thing that really impressed Matthew and I when we came to St. Elf's 3 years ago was how committed this congregation is to service and how much is going on individually. It's fantastic. But to give a corporate response, I think, is really important, because that's where the church, and we're called to reflect God's heart. And hopefully this will help us have a more coordinated presence in the community, something that will help us to shine God's light.
Now, you've got a very practical role, coordinating. That doesn't finish today. That's going to continue on through the year. What do people need to do to get involved with Connect 50? What's the practical things they need to do?
Okay. You can look in the service book. We've tried to organize quite a few things that are ready to go already. Some things were already happening in the church, but some are new. And we're going to have Michael Webb come up in a few minutes and talk about one of those opportunities. If you're interested, we're going to have a sign-up day in about 3 weeks on the 19th. That will give you time to take your books back and have a look at what's available. Talk to your small groups or your growth groups, sorry. If you want to do something coordinated as a group, that'd be fantastic. And then we'll have a sign-up, as I say, on the 19th. If you have an idea that you would really like to champion, and there are some ideas in there which need someone to coordinate them, and almost every two or three days someone else comes up to Catherine or I with another idea, it's fantastic. So just let us know if you're willing to take that on, and we'll give you all the support that we can and help you get people behind your initiative.
Great, and we're going to try and use the website, and there's an email address there, connect50@stalfords.org. for people to get back in touch with you. So would you please thank Susan and Catherine for all their hard work. Thanks, Susan, Catherine. Gets easier the more you do it, Susan. So those two are the people to keep in touch with, and they'll be available after this service in the foyer, and while we have a barbecue and extended morning tea, you can go up and chat to them. Now, inside the booklet, you'll find a range of possibilities, and starting on page 6, you'll see donate blood, so you just need to roll up your sleeves and get involved in that one. But the second one on page 7 is something that one of our fellow churches do that we've worked with together for many, many years, mostly around Christmas carols. But this is an event called Dinner Tonight, and I would like to invite Michael Webb, who's come all the way from New Hope Baptist Church, to come and speak to us. So would you welcome Michael as he comes?
My name's Michael, and I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters at New Hope, and want to say to you, if you don't already know that, that a great deal of love and affection flows this way from our church to you, and I'm sure in reverse order. Now, Connect 50 is your 50th birthday celebration, and I have a confession to make to you that today is my birthday. half as old as this church. Who would have thought it? One of my favourite authors, in fact, my favourite author, is a great Anglican, C.S. Lewis. And my favourite piece is a little essay that he wrote called Three Kinds of Men. Has anyone read it? It's highly recommended. In that little essay, which is less than a page, he says, Christian has three choices, or a human being actually has three choices. The first one is that we place ourselves in a position where we make no acknowledgement of any external obligation outside of ourselves. The second one is probably that where most of us are, where we acknowledge God and the obligations that that places upon us, but we're not prepared to give everything. We give some, which he says places us in a state of misery because we either feel guilty because we haven't given enough, or poor because we feel we've given too much. And the last one is a state of total surrender, where we give up everything. And so with that message in mind, I have made the determination to give up everything. And it was out of that Dinner Tonight really was born. We've been running 2.5 years. And we started off with 8 people. We are a weekly meal service. Every night we serve, every Saturday night, we serve between 120 and 140 meals. And I encourage you all, in fact, I invite you all, if you're free on a Saturday night, come along, no charge, and just see what the hidden life of society looks like, the life that you don't see on a day-to-day basis. The people that come to Dinner Tonight are of all walks and classes, and so there are many, many emotionally disturbed. There are people in extreme poverty. There are homeless. There are disabled. And the surprising thing is that many of these people either have a faith or once had one. And so our job is to reignite that faith and to extend to them the courtesy and love that Jesus offers to us. We have three teams. We have a serving team who serve at the tables. We have a kitchen team, and we have a relationships team who meet with people at tables and just get to know them. There was a lot of debate when we got started about whether there were genuine people in our society, in Blackburn, middle-class suburb, actually in need. And our testimony is that they're all around us. The results are quite surprising. One of the things that we found is that we must be open every night, every Saturday night. We must be there because people plan their week about getting one of their meals on Saturday night at our church. So there's no closing down. Our ministry runs 52 weeks a year. We need to be reliable. We need to be available. And the interesting thing is that as people get to know you, particularly as they get to know the relationships team members, they will open up their lives to you. All sorts of things happen as a result of that. People come to Alpha. We've had several baptisms. We've got a lot of people going to kids' church. People become a part of the life, either in of the life of the church, either in a small or a large way. We work on what we call the 4F theory. They come for the food, they stay for the fellowship, they become part of the church family, and they make a step to faith. So I welcome you, any of those of you who decide that this is something you would like to be part of. You can dip your toe in the water. You can find something that is very real in the way of service and something that will be a great blessing to you, I'm sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers. Yeah, thanks very much. Thank you very much, Michael. And what that leads into saying is a couple of things. One is that over the next couple of weeks, we'll give a little bit more profile to a couple of the suggestions in there, let someone speak a little bit about them so you know a bit more. But secondly, an important thing is when we start thinking about the need in the community, there might be a desire in some of you to try and solve all the needs. You know, you see something overwhelming. Can't we do something about that? I have to be very sort of careful in trying to guide you into what can be practical and sustainable. We're not trying to save the world. Someone's done that. And we're not trying to take on board long-term commitments that might be burdensome. So our time frame is 2012, and I have instructed the team, the coordinating team, where possible, try and work with an existing agency or a group who are doing something for two reasons. One is, A, we bless them by helping them, so, for example, joining in with New Hope, and B, then we bless the people that they're serving. But also, importantly, when the year comes to an end, if we decide, or you decide, that's enough, I've done what I can do, and we stop, the thing doesn't fall over because it's not totally reliant on you or us. So I want you to avoid trying to get too grand, you know, taking on too much and saying, if we could only do this, then it'll, you know, it'll really, really make a big, big difference. Just you have to be wise about what you think is manageable and sustainable. Is that clear? Because I'm trying to protect, many of you are very time poor, very busy, and I'm asking you to add in something into your life. Something I think, by the way, you'll get a lot back from because you'll just feel really, really good about serving. But I just want you to be careful about how much you take on. The other thing just to say is, what if you're sitting here this morning and you're not really a member of St. Alfred's or you're not really a follower of Jesus? Are you allowed to get involved? Well, the simple answer is yes. You don't actually need too many qualifications to come and help serve a meal or to donate blood or to help with kids in need or something like that. There might be some activities where it would be maybe a little bit uncertain whether you could do that, but you'll find lots of activities, if you're not quite yet sure, if you're a believer, that you can join in and help serve others. And I'm sure we would welcome you as part of our family here as we do this. So Connect 50, it's a great idea. It's a very simple idea. We simply want to share God's blessing to the wider community in practical ways to serve them and love and care for them We want to celebrate our 50th by doing this. So we're looking out, not just looking in and saying, yay, 50 years, isn't that terrific? We're looking out. And I'm excited to see that all sorts of things might emerge. What will God do with a group of people who are willing and able and ready to serve? Won't it be exciting to see? And during the year, we'll feed back to you via services and maybe some DVDs what's been happening out there. And I hope you'll be part of it.